great privilege for me to be here today. I didn't think I would have this privilege a few days ago. I was in a meeting yesterday morning in New York and Waukegan this morning, and I'm in Zion this afternoon. Tomorrow morning I'll be in my classroom in Arizona. Well, how wonderful it is to gather together with saints who are like-minded. This place, of course, has many memories for me through the years. In a few days, you'll be thinking once more of Mrs. Judd's birthday. And I look back on all those wonderful years I spent with her. But these dear ones are going on, and we're still here. And we have a work to do, don't we? Now, I don't know whether you have heard anything about the funeral, Mary Elizabeth.
No, we haven't.
I might say just a few words, and especially what it meant to me. It was a great shock, of course, Brother Walt Vogel's death. I received a letter from him Monday morning, beautiful letter, written, of course, the week before, written Thursday, last letter he wrote. And I was encouraged by it. There was no thought of death in it at all. He never thought of that. A few months before, he had written me a letter in which he had talked about once more having times of prayer with me. And so when Edwin Waldvogel called Monday night to tell that his father, his uncle had passed on, it was a very great shock. And I didn't know what to expect in going to such a funeral. His life, like Mrs. Judd's, these were the two foci of my life, as it were, Mrs. Judd and Brother Waldvogel, had been such a great blessing to me. They had guided and shaped my life. And so to be without him was seemed to be a great loss. I thought, now what will I do? But now, from the vantage point of a few days after the funeral, I see that God does everything well. And we can't lean on anybody in this world but Jesus.
Praise God.
And that funeral was the greatest thing I've ever been in, of course. It was a double funeral. They have funerals in New York, the first part at night in the church, and then the following day at the cemetery. And altogether, it was a five-hour funeral, the 2 days together. Wednesday night, from 8 to 10, the church was packed out, of course, both upstairs and I suppose downstairs too. But there was the thing that was characteristic of it was the great victory.
Praise
there was no sense of loss at all.
Praise Jesus.
There was no sense of going backwards, but going forwards.
Amen.
And the Lord certainly surprised me away beyond my expectations. Because I come away from that funeral really different on the inside, with a new sight of Jesus. Not a sight of someone who's dead. Of course, he wasn't dead. He was in heaven, in great victory and glory. I thought, well, two generals died last week, one at the beginning of the week and one at the end. And I'm sure the one who died at the beginning, his work, of course, is lasting. It was through no fault of the other generals that his work wasn't lasting. That's the way it is with earthly fights. They don't amount to anything. But oh, this fight of faith is such a glorious thing.
Praise Jesus.
And Brother Waldvogel went home in great victory.
Praise Jesus.
And there were many people there, of course, Wannenmachers, Mrs. Brown from New York, and Brother from South Africa, Brother Govender, and Brother McKinnon from the Virgin Islands, and Walter, of course, and all the nephews were there. And there was great singing and great praising, and the talks were all on faith and so wonderful. So that we really were all uplifted right from the very first meeting Wednesday morning. Of course,
praise
they don't stop anything
Jesus.
There. Death doesn't stop anything. Their meetings go right ahead. Their prayer meetings, they were in a week of prayer. And that Wednesday morning meeting was just absolutely out of this world.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus
Praise
is alive.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to Jesus.
And Wednesday night, the funeral. And then Thursday morning, of course, we had no meeting Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon, the finish of the funeral. Thursday night, a great meeting in Canarsie with all the ministers there. There were 12 of us on the platform, and the church was well filled, and everything was victory. And Friday morning, another great prayer service and meeting in Canarsie, Brother Wannenmacher spoke. Oh, how he spoke. He spoke on love. And my, when you got through, you realized you needed more love for everybody.
Praise Jesus.
And then Friday night, a great meeting at Ridgewood. Great meeting. Brother Wannenmacher spoke again. And he gave a most powerful talk on divine healing. He said, We're losing our moorings. We're not keeping true to our vision, and we've got to go forward. And he spoke about his own healing and healing in the Bible and the Lord, our healer. And it was a very marvelous and inspiring talk.
Praise God.
And then Saturday morning, another great service, the Saturday morning in Ridgewood. And Brother Edwin spoke. Oh, he spoke so well. And what grace God has given that young man. How he can go through so smoothly and so quietly and keeps himself, the Holy Spirit does, under control. His voice faltered sometimes, but he was strong in faith. And in all these meetings, and I thought, now why would he have to come out to a Friday morning meeting in Canarsie after all these days? But he was right there. Just as his uncle was, always serving the Lord, always thinking of others. And so it was a time of great victory. Hallelujah. And I had come away from New York with something in my soul.
Glory to Jesus. Oh, praise God. Jesus
is wonderful.
Amen.
And Mrs. Wannenmacher spoke on Thursday afternoon. She spoke, and Brother Waldvogel had said on one occasion, he said, now when I die, don't ever anybody talk about he has fought a good fight and finished his course and kept the faith. I want you to say he was a sinner saved by grace.
Praise.
And so, of course, people couldn't help but quote that other verse because it was applicable. Yeah. But Mrs. Wannenmacher recited a verse that went to my heart. Oh, I wept as that she recited that verse. For me, to live is Christ. Now, I don't need to recite the second part yet. For me, to live is Christ. And you know that verse has done something to my heart.
Praise
For me, to live
Jesus.
Is Christ.
Praise
as
God.
As far as I'm concerned, the process of living, the act of living is Christ, Paul said. And that verse was truly applicable of this man who passed on, wasn't it? He lived completely for Jesus. He didn't live for other people first. He didn't live for his ministry first. He lived for Jesus first. And I picked up, and Brother Johnson's picked up the little book Brother Gordon worked up of Mrs. Robinson's thoughts for each day of the month. And I looked up the 30th of March. And it said, be careful that you don't shift the center from Jesus and make the center serving Jesus.
Amen.
Ah, she knows how to express herself, doesn't she?
Praise God.
That's our great danger, isn't it? That something else will get in the way. Oh, we are of course interested in Jesus. But then, as Madame Guillon says, if you cut off some people's hands, they wouldn't know what to do because they have to be doing something for Jesus. And so the first great truth is it must be Jesus himself.
Glory to God.
And so in my heart the Lord seems to have planted the seed.
Jesus.
For me to live is Jesus. When I'm sitting on the platform waiting to preach, I'm not really waiting to preach. For me to live is Christ. All the time. Whether I'm serving or not serving. And I know that only God can do this for us. Give us a life. Oh, Jesus.
Praise God. Praise Jesus.
So in love with him that it will be Jesus all the time.
Amen.
All day long.
Amen.
And David said that he would wait upon the Lord all the day long. And so I thought it's not just to be wanting Jesus now and then, and now I have to preach, and so now I have to shift my attention from Jesus to my service. Now I have to do something for him. And so I'll have to look away from Jesus a little bit. But I know it's not that at all. I know there's a life in God where our gaze is always on Him.
Yes.
And what we do is of little importance. And it's what He does after all, and He's doing it. And so,
Jesus. Oh,
the blessing of getting delivered from your ministry.
Praise Jesus.
Getting delivered from your service. Getting delivered from what
you're
doing.
Thank you.
And I can get so absorbed in what I'm doing that I lose Jesus. Get so busy working for Jesus that I lose Him. But oh, I want, and only He can do it, I want Him to put in my heart a longing for Jesus all the time.
Jesus.
For me to live is Christ.
Oh, glory.
And only if we have that experience, only then can we add the second part of the verse, to die is gain.
Yes.
That man left nothing behind, Brother Waldo. Oh, of course, he left his ministry and his witness and his memory and all that. But I mean, as far as his own personal life was concerned, it all went with him.
Praise
he was wise,
Jesus.
Wasn't he? He lived only for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And so his going has done something for me. And I know it did something for all the others. There was no thought of loss. And Brother Gardner utilized the experience of Mrs. Robinson's going. He drew an analogy. He mentioned it first when in the morning worship, Monday morning, all the ministers generally gathered together. They were all there not knowing that Brother Waldvogel was gone. He left this world somewhere between 8:35 and 8:40. They didn't say anything about it. They sang their hymns and read their scripture and told about their meetings on Sunday. And then Brother Gardner announced that he had gone. And it's marvelous, really, how the Lord has lifted those people. There's no sense of loss.
Praise Jesus.
But rather that they'd be lifted to a higher plane. And I know that. Now, to me, it was a great loss. I thought, what will I do without this man?
Jesus.
He won't lay his hands on my head again, those wonderful hands.
Jesus.
Even as we lost Mrs. Judd's hands, hands of people who knew something about crucifixion. Or these tarryings where you sit down and that great tarrying power comes and pulls you up. I thought, dear Lord, what will I do now? Well, I just knew something had to be done. And Jesus is still here.
Jesus.
And so Brother Gardner told how Mrs. Robinson passed away in 1936. Brother Waldvogel was in Venezuela. And when she passed away, he had no leadings to come to the funeral. The Lord showed him that he was there on his service. And although it was a great loss to him, how much he had received from that great vessel. But he went right ahead. And Brother Gardner said, now there's no comparison between the work in 1936 and the work as it is now. That was where he began to grow. That was where the work began to grow. That's where the victories became greater. The death didn't make anything fold up. It made it go forward. And so he said to the young men, to the ministers in the morning worship, and then he repeated his words, somewhat abbreviated, in the morning Wednesday morning service where I heard them. He said, now we are to go on. And it was so clear. That's right. God doesn't take away his servants in order that his work shall slow down or stop. Moses is dead, but here's Joshua.
Praise the Lord.
And so we don't seem to have any Joshua, but nevertheless, Christ is our Joshua.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're going to look
Amen.
At him. And anyway, there is victory. And I feel I've entered into a new era myself. I feel in my soul
Jesus.
That now I can't say, well, I'm getting a little careless, but I'll go to New York in June and get fooled up again. I can't say that anymore. Now I just don't have to fall down. I'll have to have the Lord keep me going.
Praise
and so, beloved,
Jesus.
Hallelujah, I feel this morning, glory to
glory
God, I feel a victory. We're all here, and there's a work to be done. And that verse,
Lord.
Oh, it's so real to me, Jesus.
Praise
for me to live
Jesus.
Is Christ. I want it to be that way. I want God to get everything out of my life, every attraction.
Praise God.
We all have things, don't we?
Praise
one of my problems
God.
Is reading. I like to read. I was in Brooklyn one year and I picked up one of the scientists' books on Eddington or genes or somebody, oh, I want to read that book so badly, and get into those theories they had. But you know, I couldn't do it. I had to lay it down. I finally backslid a little long enough to read it later on. But I couldn't do it then because the Lord had hold of me. My problem is reading, one of my problems. And then there's the problem of our time. We can waste so much time, can't we? Just fiddling around, doing this, that, and the other thing. I can look back and see how much time I wasted on the back porch, working with hammers and nails and saws and whatnot. There's our time and our words and our reading. And I know that if it's going to be for me to live as Christ, I can't read what I want to read. And I remember Mrs. Judd used to say, well, you don't have to. You don't have to study a thing all the way through. The Lord may not want you to go that far with it. Long time ago she said that. And so this life, if it's going to be Christ only, it's got to be a very careful life. And I know I can't do it with my willpower. I don't have that much willpower. And I can't do it. I'm not smart enough to outwit the devil, you know, who brings along. Now, shall I do this? Is this God's will for me? Or shall I not do it? Well, we'll just somehow or other have to be so close to Jesus that we'll get light on those things.
Amen.
For me to live, it's going to be Christ.
Glory,
and that's
going to
mean an entire surrender of will. It's not just having a good feeling now and then, is it?
Praise.
Oh, I used to, when Mrs. Judd first came into my life, and I used to get those teachings, and oh, I got so thrilled with detachment. My, that was wonderful. I used to think about it.
Praise.
But after a while, I found out I didn't have it. I just
praise,
enjoyed thinking about it.
Jesus.
But to be detached is something different from just thinking about it,
Amen.
Or talking about it, or theorizing about it. To be detached from everything so that you don't get pulled away by things. And gradually, you know, we get a lift, and then gradually we drift. There's that drag of life. It's duties. And it's going to take the wisdom of God
Amen.
To get us through this world
Amen.
Successfully. It's a very
Praise
practical
God.
Thing. And every single thing has to be brought to Jesus.
Thank
In one of our meetings, I remember Brother Waldvogel, in connection with reading, we may have been talking about reading, and he said, you know, one day the Lord said to pick up that book and read it. And it was Conan Doyle's Hound of the Baskervilles or something. And Brother Waldwell said, Lord, I don't read that kind of book. But the conviction was there, the impression was there to read the book. So he picked it up and began to read it. And after he'd got a little way into it, Dr. Watson said about Holmes, he said, well, he's the type of man that has to have lots of time alone and seclusion to think. Lord said, that's enough. That's as far as you need to go. He had his teaching.
Praise God.
That he had to have lots of time, and if Holmes had to have lots of time alone in seclusion, his type of life. How much more do we need that? And oh, how often, as the Lord told me, through Mrs. Judd, over and over, you need more time alone with God. You need to spend more time alone with God. Our time is such a valuable thing. One day, up in that sweet room upstairs there where we used to go, my wife and I, we used to go up my twice a day, and Mrs. Judd would work over us, and I'm glad that that work has not been lost. I'm glad that that was work done by God through that vessel. These are vessels, of course. They couldn't do anything for us, but they were willing to be empty, and that's something. And I remember one day the Lord said, now I'm going to tell you the greatest thing I've given you. Oh, now I'm going to find out something. I'm going to find out I've got the gift of prophecy. I could feel myself expanding. But the answer, the information brought me down very fast. And the Lord said, the greatest thing I've given you is 24 hours in each day and 60 minutes in each hour. And then I was perfectly flat when I got that information. But I know now. I didn't realize it at that moment, but I know now that that's the greatest thing God's given me. That's all I've got to work with, is time.
Yes, praise
and what I do with that time, and what I let God do with that time, and whether I just am careless. Oh, it's so easy to get careless, isn't it? And and if I'm going to say for me to live is Christ, that means every minute.
Praise.
And I'll tell you, it's just too big for me. I know it isn't possible. These things are not possible for us. By no amount of ingenuity or wanting, it's got to be the grace of God. And how glad I should be today, how glad I should be that God even gives me a chance to say for me to live is Christ. Why should God even be interested in me or want me to be interested in Him? And so it's a wonderful call. Oh, what a wonderful call. And beloved, this life's only a nursery. This is only the beginning. This is just the apprenticeship. If I misuse my time and I can't go back, I've wasted so much time in my ministry doing things that weren't necessary. I can't go back over that. And so I'll just have to start now.
Praise God.
Just have to start now. Give all our time to Jesus. Now, we can't get in a straitjacket about it, of course. We've got to grow up into it. We have to learn. But whenever I know what the Lord wants me to do, I was traveling in a streetcar once in Los Angeles. I was going home from the garage, the serviceman, where I'd left my car. And I was so blessed. I was having one of those wonderful inward blessings. And I was sitting there. I was all alone. I was the only person on the car leaving town. They were all gone into work. And only person in the car. And I sat there with this wonderful glow of God in my heart. And then I moved my head. Now, you see, you can't even move your head. And I moved my head. And I saw a newspaper lying over in that seat there. Now, a free newspaper to a Scotchman. How could I resist that? So I just reached over and picked up the newspaper. And I just glanced over the headlines. But when I finished, it was all gone. All this wonderful thing in the inside was gone. I wasn't lost or anything, but I just had lost that sacred touch with God because I gave myself to something else. And interestingly enough, on one of the tapes I have of Mr. Waldvogel's, he tells a story about this man who told the very same story of his experience also with a newspaper. And so, newspapers, they are dangerous things, aren't they? I said to Joan, why don't you stop taking that newspaper? You waste $2 a month on it. Well, she says, why don't you stop reading it if you don't want to? Which was perfectly reasonable. And it's all these little things. And I know that when we start to say, for me to live is Christ, it's going to be all these little... Really, it's the little things that count, isn't it? You don't have very many big things to do. And I show my interest in Jesus, and I show my willingness to let Him be all in all in those little things. Amen. Really, it wasn't much that got this world into this condition. It's in just reaching out and picking something off a tree. It wasn't some tremendous something. It was just a little thing. And so, of course, we come back to that most fundamental of the teachings of these dear saints, which is that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments.
Amen.
And that's this great kingdom. It's new. It's Easter time, and it's Palm Sunday, and Jesus is the King. And you know that's the kingdom He wants to set up in our hearts—a kingdom of love.
Amen.
That will issue in obedience to all the smallest things of life. And so,
thank you,
I thank God for this call that we all have. That's all by grace. Isn't worked out by my own efforts. It's worked out by my simple faith in Jesus. And even my obedience is an obedience of love. It's an obedience that... And even there, as Mrs. Robinson said, there's two ways. One is the way of love and the other is the way of obedience. Even when I don't seem to feel the love, there still has to be obedience to Jesus' will. That even when we don't feel it, is wrought out by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So may God grant that we will all, at this Easter time, realize that we have a resurrected Christ who wants to enter our lives more fully all the time. And I thank God for the privilege of being with you. I have to leave right away, I suppose. I have to get a plane and get back to Arizona. And so we remember you in our prayers. We say, dear Lord, bless the Judd household. And remember us and
praise God.
Thank God for His great grace.
Praise Jesus. Live out thy life within me.
Household of Mary Elizabeth and Greta and Corrine and Harold, for all their love in the past, still using those coveralls Harold gave me. I think of you when I use them sometimes, and how very gracious they've been to me through the years. And now it's nice to see all of these dear ones, and Brooks, all the others, I don't remember all your names, some new faces. And just one request, Mary Elizabeth, please just send a cheese once a year.
Pray.
Hallelujah.
Pray.